Well, good evening, everybody. Looks like about a half dozen of you. This is Hank. I'm K9LZJ. I'm in Greenfield, Indiana. And just came back from the county fair in Hancock County, Indiana. Typical small town, Indiana, rural county fair with the pigs and the hogs and the annual auction of farm animals for raising money for the 4-H kids. So big time was had in a small town tonight. Glad to have you all here. I've been doing a few things with my SDR and some things with my computer, which I'll tell you about a little later on. But I hope that we've got some good news here and some new updates. Last time we had this little gathering last week ago, had some really good conversation on what some of the guys are doing with some of the new technology. So we'll start off with Bill, KD5 TFD. Good evening, Bill, from Indiana.
Good evening, Hank. Let's see, continuing down the Ozzy and Janice route this week. I think that Janice is pretty much checked out and put on the side of the bench for a moment and started on Ozzy this morning, and that one's a bit of work. I got the power supplies down and about three-quarters of the big FPGA done. That one's proving to be a bit of a challenge. Ended up with some bent pins on it, soldered to the board in a shorted fashion, and God for love nor money, I could not get the solder to come out of there, and ended up having to thread a little 30-gauge wire underneath about 8 of the pins and heat it up with the heat gun and gently drag the wire underneath the pins to try and get them to come free. It's a bit of a challenge, but we'll go back at her tomorrow and see how we do.
Very good. Oh, yeah. The challenges of building things. I got some parts here today to repair my VX5 handheld. And those circuit mount parts are small. Wow. Eric? Good. We're getting some more people checking in. Eric, go ahead and pick it up. What have you been up to?
Not a lot. Thank you, Hank, and thank you for taking it. Apologies to everyone for not posting the audio last week. It takes me a couple, 3 hours to massage it and get it uploaded and downloaded and pointed to and so forth. So we will take care of that tomorrow morning and get back in track here. Not a lot. I've been basically accounting, trying to put together a little accounting system for this HPSDR project and make sure that I keep up with everybody who's paid and who hasn't. Got a little access database that I've been working on. And I think I liked Chris's comment on the reflector that or maybe even in a private email message that he can officially say that the Aussie is a bit of a challenge. So I'm glad it's not me doing the first work, and hopefully we'll have him with those suckers, those 208 pin suckers, put on the board. So basically that's it. I'm setting up to ship here. I did buy a calculating postage scale today or this week, and also because I figure I'll be in the shipping business here for a while, since I've done it 4, 5, 6, 7 times already. And I bought a stamp printer and label printer, so I don't have to stand online at the post office and just bring a bucket in with 200 kits to mail out. And I'm working with John W9DDD of Tapper, and we'll sort of integrate our efforts here on the HPSDR project and getting stuff out. I'll probably become an alternate shipping point and kit building facility here in Conyers, Georgia. In any case, that's about all I've been doing, Hank. Just pretty well magnetized by the two forums, Blix Radio Forum. I was very interested in Bob's description of FLAC. I guess that's how you pronounce it. And also Phil's explanation. So that looks like a really interesting medium and a lot of interesting stuff that we can do with the SDR in the future. I guess that's about it. We will post the audio this week. Thanks very much for taking the forum.
Okay.
Hank, K9LZJA, 4SWI.
Okay, Eric, your audio dropped down there at the end. What was the last comment?
Don't know. Don't know where it dropped. But I may have been speaking a little bit away from the mic because I was looking back up at the screen and turned away. So, just pass it on. Thanks very much for doing the forum.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Eric. I think that's exactly what happened. When you came back, your audio was back up there. Chris, good evening to you, A6VK. What have you been up to this week? Chris, I don't hear any audio. Still no audio, Chris. Give it another try. Well, Chris, I'll just come back to you. Sounds like you're having some problems there. Dan, N4XWE on your laptop. Go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me all right, Hank?
Absolutely. Great.
Okay, thanks. Well, I'm as it says, I'm transmitting from the laptop tonight. I'm at my new place in Payson, Arizona, and just got the internet connection up and running yesterday morning, so it's all kind of new, and I'm doing this with a little wireless LAN and a bunch of other innovations. Anyway, over the last 3 weeks, I've driven about 4,000 miles, and tomorrow night I'm headed for Europe for 3 weeks, going to the Farnborough Show, and then a week in England and a week in Germany afterwards. So I should be back in the swing of things about the middle of August, it looks like. Anyway, I wanted to thank Bob, VE3GKM, and Rick, VE3MM, and Bill, KD5TFD. They've all had a hand in getting me a power supply board for the N2PK VNA that I'm building or will be building when I get back from my travels. And I've been following with quite a lot of interest the evolution of DTTSP2 for Linux. It has been released. It is on an SVN server. And I think most of the big bugs have been worked out. There are a few minor things going on. Bob, N4HY, is in the process of finishing up the control software. And it looks like we're pretty close to having a second generation working SDR radio software type for Linux. Anyway, back to you, Hank, K9LZJ, N4XWE.
Chris, I pushed the wrong button. Chris, I'm going to see if you're back. Are you back yet?
Is that any better?
Oh, yes, that sounds wonderful.
Okay, sorry. I'm in the middle of several things here. One of them is, let's see, this week has been a bit, I'm going to have to be quick because I'm actually trying to fix some computers at the South Pole at the same time, so I will be in and out. Been busy somewhat this week. I finally got my other computer working. It had bad memory, and that was what I was trying to use a couple of minutes ago, and I haven't figured out the sound yet, so that's what that problem is. That's in place. The Aussie board has been challenging in a couple of respects. The small RC filters are very small, but I managed to get them in. The Cyclone 2 has been rather a problem. The pins are very rubbery, and I don't actually have a microscope. I only have a magnifier, so I try to just barely touch the pins, they nonetheless move, and I can't really see them move, so they're getting hard to put in place. I've shorted a couple and moved them around, and Lyle has offered to rescue me, but I want to play a little bit more. Most of the pins I haven't actually tried yet, and I did manage to find just last night a small heat gun that I guess Bill Tracy has used in the past and for doing kind of a touchless soldering. So I was going to give that a try on some of the other pins before I sent it off to Lyle. That's what that is. And then I have also received in the mail, finally, the USB to JTAG adapter, which is a drop-in replacement for the Altera one. So whether that means it's really sort of counterfeit or something, I don't know. But at any rate, it was half price, which I still think is a little expensive. But then I also found from Phil Harmon pointed me to a couple of things related to a FTDI, Future Technologies Devices, Inc., British friend of chip manufacturer. They make a little chip that's a USB to FIFO with a bit banging mode all together in one chip. And then even better, for $22, they make a development board, which is that chip plus the USB connector plus a couple of jumpers to fiddle things around with, mounted on a 24-pin IC carrier for development and playing around with. So I got one of those. They came very quickly because they actually shipped from Oregon. I also got a bare chip. If this works out, I might want to use it or something else. But at least I have something I can breadboard. I think it's good enough that I can play with the drivers they supply and the code that you can get from Altera that runs on the PC and reads files and spits them out. I mean, basically what it is you can output files from Cordis 2, which is an ASCII file. They give you the code that will read that file and send it out on a driver. And we have enough stuff for the driver with this little chip that I think we can manage to, or I can manage to twiddle the JTAG lines directly, in which case we might be able to poke together something if people need it for, you know, $25 or something like that instead of $150. It's probably going to be very slow, but it might be enough to get things off the ground, so I hope I'll get to that this weekend. Let's see, I think that's probably going to be enough for now.
I think you've been very busy. Very good. By the way, Dan, I wanted to wish you a good trip. Sounds like you've got some heavy-duty traveling ahead of you, and have had some heavy-duty traveling in the past few weeks. 4,000 miles is a lot. Hope you have a safe trip, and we'll look forward to having you back here in a few weeks. Larry, good evening to you. K2LT, K9LZJ here. Yeah, hang on a second. Okay, I guess it's working. Well, the thunderstorms finally went away, and my guy is on the road making measurements, and I spent most of the day solving his problems, which is a lot easier than me driving the 4,000 miles that I used to in 2 weeks, Dan. So I know what it feels like to have road time. I have measured the noise level of the fancy connector, the Pico PSU-60, and what it has is a 300 kilohertz spike, starts at 300 and goes on up with a sine X over X distribution, and unfortunately that distribution peaks in the 80 meter band. It seems to peter out around 6 or 7 megahertz. The international broadcast stuff started coming in late this afternoon. So I'll try some more tests in the middle of tomorrow to see what this sine X over X thing is on the upper bands. But there definitely is some garbage from the power supply right in the middle of 80 meters. And it's the same signal level as the shortwave broadcast stations. What I'm doing is using a shielded loop antenna that's right here in the shack with me, and the PSU-60 is sitting on a bench, and the loop is maybe 2 feet away from it, and I plug that into the spectrum analyzer. I run a background reading first with the PSU off, and then I turn the PSU on, I run a second reading, and I subtract the background reading from the PSU reading, and that leaves me with the with a spectrum, hopefully, that represents what kind of garbage the PSU is producing. And Chris, I'll attempt to get one of these files out of the analyzer and into the computer and send it to you so you can see what sort of data I'm able to produce, and maybe you can suggest some way for me to massage it so it's more presentable. I have, about 12 or 14 files right now, because I take them every 500 kilohertz. If I go much wider, I lose resolution in the spectrum analyzer. If I go much narrower, I'm just burdened with too much data. So, anyways, progress on the PSU front, and now that I've figured out how to do it and the storms have gone away, I'm going to check out some other power supplies. Other than that, haven't even been on the air, been busy. So back to you, Hank. K2LT.
Hey, busy. And not even able to get on the air. That's really quite bad. By the way, Phil, I got your note about the Weller soldering iron here and WSL, and I can't find that on eBay. Nobody seems to have any Weller soldering irons at the present time, so I'm going to do a general search on that and see if I can find out some more information about the good old Weller iron. And go ahead.
Yeah, fine. Hank, I just did a Google, and there seems to be plenty available. It looks like it's recently been superseded, so it could be a good time to pick one up if some of the retailers are clearing the old stock, ready for the new. But I've been using mine for a few days now, and really delighted under the microscope, even on the very fine pitch pins. You can actually solder an individual pin, the tip's so tiny. So I think this is going to be really good. Pretty good week. I'm at the same stage as Bill. I've put the Janus board to one side. Everything checks out on the board. Some very minor changes for the production version of the board. We're going to add a few LEDs so we can see the power supplies are alive, and there's a couple of nice little test points we're going to put on there, and a couple of LEDs to indicate that the things are synced up to Paris DR and various bits and pieces. But fairly some cosmetic, one change to power supply on one of the audio amplifiers, but we're basically there. During the week, I got the switching going from 48, 96, and 192. So when you're connected to Paris DR, if you just use the little drop-down menu, you can switch just by clicking with the mouse between different sampling rates of 48K, 92K, and 192K, and that seems to be working okay. So, say, off to one side, and I'm about to start my building my Aussie board. I've cleared the decks here, got the soldering iron warmed up, and about to break out the components. So that'll be a little bit of a change. I think that's probably all the news for this week. I also saw the comment from Bob on the compression algorithm using FLAC. I've yet to be able to get it to work, I must admit. I just simply try to drop some WAV files onto FLAC to make it work, but it doesn't recognize them. And I gather that the WAV files we use are floating point, where FLAC uses integer compression. So there's a little bit of work to be done before we can just use it as plug and play. But looks exciting. I see in Bob's note to Frank, he was getting compression levels of up to 5:1. So it'll be very interesting if we can start using that that compression tool to share WAV files amongst ourselves. So that's this week's progress. Back to you, Hank.
Just on a quick one, Phil. Do you think we're going to need a second alpha on Janus?
No, I don't think so. The changes are there's one circuit change, which was the output amplifier that drives the IMQ on the transmitter. I had running off plus 10 volts and 0 volts, and there's just a little bit of distortion on the negative half cycle of the audio out. So rather than return the op amp to 0 volts, run it off plus 10 and minus 5. But that was really the only circuit change, so I don't think we need to do that. The other changes were we put electrostatic discharge resistors on all the pins, and we did that by mounting resistors on the back of the connector, which works okay, but it's very, very tedious to put all those resistors on by hand. So we're going to use resistor packs like we've done on the Aussie board, and we're adding some LEDs on the power supply. So I don't think we need to go to another, to a beta. I think we can go straight from there to production.
Very, very good. Appreciate it.
I mean, you say those are, that hit all three of the things that I was going to ask for on the Janus, because it doesn't have a light. How can it not have a light? And I couldn't imagine how one was going to mechanize putting all those little resistors on, so both motions seem in the right direction.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Yeah, I think the LEDs, we're going to put them on the output of all the regulators so that you can check that the regulators are there and working, and that, you know, if you're getting a rail being pulled down, you better see the LEDs gone dim. And there's a couple of very useful signals that you want to be able to see are alive. I've been playing around during the week with how the Janus board synchronizes with Power SDR over the USB 2. And in fact, I spent most of my week working on that little bit of synchronization code. Basically, the data from Janus to Power SDR is sent in 512-byte blocks. And at the beginning of each block, we have 3 bytes, which are synchronization bytes. And what we're doing is we're looking for a synchronization byte, going to sleep for 512 bytes, and then looking for the sync again. And if those two events occur, you say, okay, I'm in sync, and, you know, well, away you go. It's very nice to have a little LED on the board which lights up, you know, when you're in sync, because that means that you know, you're getting solid data and away you go. The other thing we're going to do is if you lose sync for any reason, particularly when you're on transmit, is to immediately turn all the outputs off. So it'll deselect push to talk, it'll set all your audio outputs to zero. If you're using the relay outputs, they'll all be set to zero so that it's fail safe. It won't power up with any outputs on, and if you do for whatever reason lose communications with Power SDR, everything will fail into a safe mode.
Sounds great.
Okay, this is Hank again, and we've got a number of people that are listening tonight with X's and so on. Does anybody else that's just listening have any other comments? Okay, well, again, I looks like there's about 7 of us. I'm just going to make a quick comment. I found some new software for virus checking this week that I've been trying out. It's called ABG. It's a free virus checking software, and I've downloaded it on a couple computers, and I've had it go through my computers, and it was able to find some Trojan horse viruses that my newest release of Norton did not find. So I was pretty pleased with it, and I'm particularly pleased with the price. So if any of you guys have had any experience with it, it's just something I've run onto recently, and it scans my email and does all that other good kind of stuff. Regarding SDR, I've had
continual wonderful contact using the SDR-1000 sideband. Just excellent audio reports. And as I mentioned last week, more and more people are familiar with the radio and so on. So it continues to grow. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with some of the new releases as time continues along, and where that's going to lead us, as well as some of the panel displays that we've come to enjoy here recently. So that's a bit it from Hank in Indiana. Thanks for everybody for checking in tonight. Looks like most of our members are out enjoying a summer evening. Look forward to talking to maybe some of you tomorrow on 20 meters, and if not, later on next week or next Friday night. 73 is from Indiana. This is Hank, K9LZJ, and TeamSpeak is open for general discussion.
You might have Jim and Mike came in.
Hank, just to comment on AVG, I've been using it for quite a few years as my main virus scanner, and I endorse everything you say. It's a great program at a great price. The nice thing about it is that it updates its virus definitions every day. So if there's a virus released and they find it, then whatever time of the day or night it is, it'll send out a virus definition, you pick it up. So there's no weekly, I think Norton's used to be weekly updates, I can't remember now, but certainly AVG updates as and when they find a fix.
Yeah, I've heard that. Go ahead, Larry.
I was going to say the other nice thing about AVG, like Phil, I've used it for several years, is it's written by a bunch of Eastern Europeans, I think Czechs, I believe, and they are devious, scheming, underhanded, and cunning, which is what you need in this game.
Absolutely. Well, I have been just so impressed. A fellow amateur radio operator turned me on to it, and I'll tell you, very nice. I feel like I'm far behind you guys since you've been using it for a couple of years. And my computer numbers are growing here. I think they're multiplying at night. And I got a computer almost everywhere, and it was getting expensive buying software for each computer. So AVG has rescued me and allowed more funds to be spent on more electronic goodies. Thanks.
Yeah, I think I've got it now.
Yeah, sounds good now.
Like I say, I'm kind of new to TeamSpeak, and I forget to go out and I've been playing with Soft Rock 40 here, and so I've had Line In selected as an input, and I, for some reason, my little program doesn't, that stores all my settings, doesn't restore properly to get the various microphone and line selections switched around for me. Sorry I was late tonight. I really wanted to check in earlier, but we were cutting grass and walking the dog, and first one thing and then the other.
Yeah, okay, you know, I cut my half acre this evening, and Larry, you can send me the rain any time you want. I spent $200 on watering the various gardens lawns that I had last month. I have a little leak in the bathroom too, not severe, but every bit hurts. So send the rain this way.
Well, we'll see what we can do, young man. Maybe we'll stir up one of those eastern side hurricanes to come up and get you.
Yeah, I need something. When I think about what I could do with $200, it's more than pay water bills, but I also got a lot of money in the lawn and the gardens too, so I'm torn. Anyway, anybody else have some comments and Welcome, Jim, and ask questions. You have any questions, or tell us how you're using the SDR, or if you're not an SDR owner, how you're using the soft rock. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I am not an SDR owner, but I was on here the other night and talking to, I think Bill was in there, and I believe there was another gentleman in there, might have been Don or somebody. They were in, and they were talking about the soft rock, so I quick like sent an order off to Mr. Parks and got a 8040 kit and built it up, and just been playing with it, learning a little bit about SDR. I finally got it to work with the Power SDR program today. Finally figured out what was bugging me there, and it was a setting on the sound setting. And really got enthused about it. I have a K2 here, and the soft rock kind of did a better job on some weak signals than my K2 does, and that really hurt my feelings.
Don't feel bad about having your feelings hurt. This software-defined radio stuff is the leading edge of receivers, and I'm an old Drake owner, user, fixer, and I've got several of them around, and I used to turn on a couple of them every day to just listen to the bands while I was working around the shack, and I don't even turn them on anymore. I turn on the SDR. I've got an SDR 1000, and I've got a couple of Tony's soft rocks, so don't feel bad about the K2. It's still a good radio. We're just into better ones.
That's encouraging. I was bragging on it so much that the local DS club, of which I'm a member, I don't know why, because I live in the land of RF. If there's any place in the state of Alabama that's below sea level, I'm in the middle of it. And but anyway, the DX Club has asked me to bring the Soft Rock 40 Monday night and put on a little demo for them. So I've got Lyle's Dayton presentation on CD-ROM here, and I'm going to take the Soft Rock. And if anybody's got a couple of WAV files that got some real nice pileups on them, I would appreciate them. I've been sort of going around the band looking for something to record to make it a real neat presentation, and 40 meters down here has got about 3 signals on it, and that's about it.
Well, there's plenty of WAV files out there. You could you can go to the Flex Radio Friends website, and there's a file there, I think, that says WAV files, and there's a bunch of them there, and I think the Flex Radio website also has quite a few stockpiled there. If you need the information to get to the Flex Radio Friends website, I'll post it out there for you.
Yeah, I'd recommend the Flex Radio Friends. The Flex Radio site themselves, last I looked, which was a couple of weeks ago, only had about 3 WAV files and not much in CW.
I think I've got Flex Radio Friends. Isn't that the ham SDR? Isn't there a link on there to the Flex Radio Friends, I think?
I don't think so. I'll just post it down here. I'll post it down at the bottom, Jim, and then you can go there. There is a WAV files in the upload files. It's an FTP site, so you just FTP them down. Be prepared. Some of them are pretty hefty files. I think there's one there that's 90 megabytes, something like that. I hope you have a high-speed connection.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't do without my broadband.
You and me both.
East Coast sound wave files.
Say again, Bill.
I'll have to give you guys some of the East Coast sound AM wave files.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, there's a bunch. There's contests on there and CW contests, and of course that's the most impressive to demonstrate is the ability to copy close-in signals on CW. But I'll post that down at the bottom here as soon as I can type and not hold the control key down.
I understand. For some reason, my message things are all grayed out. I'm not sure why that is.
I don't mind it blued out. Guess we're talking about the free virus programs. Have you heard about Avast, A-V-A-S-T?
Yeah, I use Avast, and I really like it. I've also used AVG and Linux. So it works pretty well for that. But Avast also has daily updates, sometimes twice a day, and it's highly recommended.
Good to hear it. I've been using it for about a year and a half. That's over in Germany or Czechoslovakia, I believe, also.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the origin of it is, but the thing I like about it is you have a lot of flexibility with how intense you want to monitor things, and obviously the more you monitor, the more CPU cycles you use for it, and the slower everything else runs. So having that flexibility to me means quite a bit.
Yeah, I've got it on 5 computers with the same registration number, and they're not complaining, so I guess everything's okay.
Sorry, I doubled with somebody.
You gotta watch that deja vu.
All right, I copied down the friends information. And I did get on that website the other day. I'm not sure if I put it in my favorites or not.
I don't know. There's about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's about 15 files there. There's, I think, that CW contest is pretty good. But there's a number of very good files there for demonstrating the radio. Let your broadband wear itself out overnight.
Yeah, just turn it on and let her fly.
And to think we all had dial up at one time.
And thought it was great.
Yeah, I remember 300 baud being the fastball.
How about 110?
The days of the BBS, yeah, and the Zena C19 monitors.
I happened to put the first datacom link in the state of Alabama in between the University of Alabama and the big house U3 up at University of Alabama Huntsville way back yonder when. And boy, we thought that was just something special.
Yeah. Well, I love technology. It's a little hard to keep up with, but it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that link was, I'm not sure if it's 110 or 300 baud. Wasn't very fast. Sent card images.
Well, packet radio is what, 1200 baud?
Generally, I think the most of it's 1200 baud. There's some 96 in VHS, or VHF and the UHF, I think.
Ah, I'll tell you what I'm dying to try out is DRM.
Hey, you got to buy the license for that one, don't you?
Yeah, I did. I got the software here. I just haven't figured out how to patch things in to make it transmit.
I thought there was a free one, actually.
There's one called Dream. Yeah. link to it on the Flex site.
Yeah, it's flying on my disk somewhere, and I haven't unpacked it yet.
I was watching a couple guys in 75 playing with it the other night. It sure is, I mean, when it cuts off on frequency, it cuts off. No splatter with that stuff.
No, and it does data real nice, too. Of course, not on the radio stations that are broadcasting, but tell you, the Mel's presentation at Dayton was absolutely astounding. He had it working all ways through the SDR-1000 and still does, and is continuing to experiment with it. Fascinating mode.
If I understand it right, Harry, the frequency response stays the same, but the resolution—I don't know what the word is—gets better as the number of carriers increases. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I think. It's all split up into multiple. Somebody probably knows a whole bunch more than me, but I did listen to Mel's presentation, and he's around here sometimes, K0PFX. He can tell you how to get started and work with it. He had the transmit side and the receive side fed through his PC and demonstrated a lot of different things. I mean, you can do digital imaging, just about anything digital, as well as having high quality almost FM quality audio, AM audio. It's a fascinating mode.
It is. I keep meaning to send Raleigh an email and see what his thoughts are as far as what frequencies and what have you, because I don't think there's any regulation on it yet, is there?
Quite frankly, I sure don't know. I was actually floored by it because I'd never tried it. I'd seen Mel talking about it here on TeamSpeak, and also then when he made a presentation at Tapper this year, and also on the SDR forum later on at Dayton, and it was interesting. It's an up and coming mode. I don't know what the regulations are on it.
Can you run two or three stations on the same frequency set?
I honestly don't know. I'm I hadn't experimented with it. You know, I heard the presentation and said, "Wow, you know, that is really slick stuff." But I don't know. Mel would definitely be the one to get in touch with.
Yeah. Well, I've had a little bit of email correspondence with him about a month and a half ago. He told me how to hook it up, but I've forgotten how to cross his path again.
Bill, there's a link down at the bottom that is a paper that Mel wrote about setting up Dream for transmit and receive.
You mean the QSL net link?
Roger.
Thank you.
So when do we think we're going to have an Aussie up and running, or do we already have?
Well, Phil's got one that will enumerate and talk to the bus. I think Lyle does as well. I've just desoldered he glitched one side of mine on the FPGA with the pins, so no pushing until you pull up a soldering iron and give it a try.
Does it go 110 baud?
I know he's got a talk. I know Phil has a talking to the PC and enumerating and stuff. I honestly need to get the board built. The big FPGA, I mean, the pin spacing is not bad, but I mean, as Chris had put on a note, and I found out today, is the pins are just very, very rubbery, and I actually made the mistake of getting about four of them a little bit bent, but soldered all together in a little bit bent configuration, and once you do that, it is incredibly hard to get them unbent because they're soldered at that point, and I had to do the wire underneath the pins trick, and I mean, you want to talk about character building, try threading a little 30-gauge wire between these damn pins, and so you only pick up the four or five that you want.
Oh, God. Is that the only package style that comes in with that rubbery, what is it, QFPA, or I've forgotten what I was reading, but character building, I guess, is the way to put it.
Unfortunately, that's the only one with leads in the 208-pin size. I think it comes, there are ball grid arrays and the like, but the 208 is only a plastic quad flat pack, which is 3.4 milliliters high, which makes the leads long. The other ones that we've got, the FX2 and the MAX2 CPLD, are both thin quad flat packs, which are only 1.4 millimeters high, and that seems to keep the leads short, so they're stiffer.
Well, what about a bigger FPGA? One even more capable? Can we go a step up or a step down and get stiff leads out of it?
Not unless you want to go to BGA.
No, I think we voted against that.
Yeah, it's one of the things I want to try. I suspect I'm going to have to get mine shipped off to Lyle to have him untangle some of it because, even with the wires, I haven't got a microscope, so I can't really see what I'm doing at that scale. But I do want to try the heat gun because if you set it right so it's sitting on all the pins and can just make it flow, that would probably work pretty well. But I just didn't realize that miner barely touching the pin was going to make such a big movement.
Yeah, well, I don't envy you guys, I'll tell you that. Man, that even made me shudder, because I thought you guys had it nailed, but I guess with the flexible, I mean, that's the ultimate in difficulty, is having flexible pins, so they move around. I did put a little background PM out there about possibly getting an oven, a commercial oven, or what do we think about possibly doing that and doing a stencil of some sort.
What are you guys building that's so small?
Say again?
What are you guys working on that's so small?
This is the Aussie board for the HPSDR stuff, which is got one of its components is a Cyclone 2 FPGA chip, which is 208 pins at, I think it's a half millimeter pitch between the pins, and the pins themselves are like 2 millimeters long, flat, and not very stiff. So it's a half millimeter. It gets pretty dicey when you're working even with a small iron and a magnifying glass. But the flexibility of the pins means even just touching them moves them from, it's easy to move them a half a millimeter and then they're on the next guy.
Okay. I was intrigued by somebody's comment about using a soldering iron, a heat gun instead of a soldering iron. That's a unique way to solder.
Actually, I think Bill probably has done that quite a bit. I'm just following part of what he was suggesting. But to a certain extent, it's sort of like what is done with a reflow soldering. I mean, the way they really do this in the real world is that they make a stencil and they put little blobs of paste with solder in them and then place carefully the IC in the little blobs of paste and then heat the whole board and everything until all the solder melts at once without touching anything. That's kind of what Eric was suggesting, whether we should get such an oven for trying the alpha stuff. And the heat gun is kind of a halfway point where you can not touch it, but heat it up anyway until the solder melts.
Okay, I understand. We used to use ultrasonics to help the free flow back in the 60s and 70s. Of course, the chips weren't that small then.
Question for Eric.
Yeah, go ahead, Duffy.
Yeah, my system keeps dumping me off here. I think it's this lousy Wi-Fi to the boat was flaky, so I went another method. But I lost the link in the specifically the password to Flex Radio Friends. I think you put that up, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Let me copy it, and I'll paste it in again.
Appreciate it. You know, just every time it dumped, I lost that sucker. All right, guys.
Don't you hate it when it does that?
Yeah, we've been having lightning storms all afternoon and evening here, and I don't know, it seems to affect the internet connection here. Has been really flaky this whole afternoon.
Yeah, I guess when you run shielded cable down the road, it's like one big antenna for lightning.
I'll repaste it at that.
Thanks, Eric.
Okay, very good.
I saw it just now. Is that section that says download or upload? Is that the download section too?
Yeah, that's correct. You go into that section. It's an FTP site, and you can download or upload.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
I got a question. On TeamSpeak, all my menu options across the top seem to be, most of them are grayed out. Is that because I haven't registered to use TeamSpeak, or am I missing something somewhere?
No, you got it right, Jim. It's because you're unregistered. Most of the stuff that you need from the server side, you really don't need. If you go to... channels, hold on a second, yeah. If you go to channels up there, you can see where you can send a text message to all, and that's where a box pops up. You type in what you want to type, and then just click OK, and it puts it down at the bottom. That should not be grayed out on you.
Oh, yeah. It is grayed out on me, so I don't know why that is. I'll have to figure that out, because I remember the other night when I was chatting with Bill and the other gentleman that they were telling me about the text messaging, and it is grayed out on mine, so I'll have to figure out why that is happening.
It's probably something I have to figure out. Any of you other unregistered folks... have trouble putting text messages in? Send text message to all.
I do a right click on the open Flex gathering, and in the drop down menu there should be a send text message come up.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah, and you
can
the channel menu item for sending text messages is grayed out on mine as well. I do the right click.
Okay.
Yeah, that works perfect.
Okay. Sorry about that. I've always been a system administrator, so most of mine are not grayed out. And you can send a private message, too. I think I got one back up there a ways, and I have to reply. You can send a private message right-clicking on the player themselves. Player, ham radio operator.
back to the issue of the packages for the Cyclone chip, you know, there are some really nice ball grid array sockets. I can see why people wouldn't want to do direct soldering of ball grid arrays, but there are some sockets. They tend to be fairly expensive because they're special made and probably not sold in very high quantities, but that might be another option if we don't go with a semi-fabricated board.
You know, there was a young man that I sent a board to some time back. Oh, the DBS card I sent off to a guy, Kit Builders, and I can't remember where he was, but he did a super job on the DBS chip on the little DBS 60 board. Didn't charge but $10.
Yeah, Roger. Well, I think we'll probably, with the Janus and the Aussie, except for those people who are not faint of heart or have the magnifying glasses and microscopes, the Janus and the Aussie will definitely be at least all surface mount parts mounted. So that's in the future. In the not too distant future, we're investigating that right now. There's no secret involved in it or anything like that. But most definitely, you know, anything that's that complex, we'll have the surface mount parts mounted.
Hallelujah! I'm telling you, you were talking about character building. The Salt Rock 40 was enough character building for me.
Oh, it gets easier. You do a few of those and you'll be doing one of these boards in no time.
Hey, Bill, I got my power supplies going.
Oh, excellent. Another thing to watch out for on that big FPGA is when you go to wick off any bridges you've got, you want to be careful to not get it into the vertical part of the pins, because then it gets considerably dicier to try and de-wick it without bending the pins around.
Okay, just going to put the Cypress chip on, but I'm just looking under the microscope with this little iron. It looks like I can, because the iron so tips are tiny, I can actually solder individual pins. So, do you need any additional solder, or is there enough on the pads to get this thing down?
I've always had to add a tiny bit of solder to them. There may be enough on the board. I don't know. I'm surprised you're going to do the Cypress before you do the FPGA.
Yeah. Is that the wrong way around?
I don't know. I did the FPGA first, and then I haven't figured out if I can do this yet. But I was going to program another test. Test image for it and program it via JTAG, and then make sure I got it down, particularly since it's had such a hard time with it. I'm going to want to be, personally, I want to be sure it's there, so that's the route I'm going. I figured it'd be easier to stay away from, to leave the Cypress off so I could test the FPGA in isolation.
Yeah, okay, I might do that. I didn't get a flux pencil. I should get one today. So what I might do is just, you know, put the leads on. So I've got, you know, just check those and maybe put some of the resistor packs on. Just keep away from the FPGA and the FX2 until I've got a flux pencil, so I can just run some flux around the pins before I put the chip down.
I would definitely recommend that. Yeah, I think on the Max 2, which I did on the Janus board, I didn't actually add any solder. It seems to be all right, but I haven't really tested it too hard. None of the pins move and they all seem fine. And I was guessing that the FX2 would probably be the same, since it's the same basically scale of pin and length of pin. It's just the Cyclone is so rubbery, it's really hard, and
adding solder just makes that worse because it makes them short together.
Okay, so I'll just use the existing solder on the pads, but I think running a bit of flux around from a flux pen is probably a good idea before I put the chip down.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
Okay, I'll keep on soldering. Thanks, guys.
I got another question. I think it was Phil. I was listening remotely, so I couldn't see the screen. This new little itty-bitty Weller iron that you were describing, did that get posted, or did I miss that, or the model number?
Yeah, it's a Weller Whiskey Echo Lima Lima Echo Radio, and the model number's WSL, Whiskey Sierra Lima, and that's what I'm using at the moment. Very nice.
Good evening, Bob. I haven't heard you in there, but I see your prolific typing down at the bottom, and you might want to make that a verbal announcement. And just wondering if you had any possible word on the the reflow oven. As you can hear, we've been talking about soldering, tacking stuff down with soldering irons.
Yeah, I got in late. And the answer is no. Our answer is yes, I've heard. And the answer was no. He's decided he's going to use it. They've got a new project with some boards coming up. So I guess that got shot out of the sky real well. And I don't know if we've got a fix on this right now. Eric dropped out Rev 582 while I was downstairs. And it seems to work. Our purpose sent me a note says there's some significant delay in video, but I have not noticed that on this end, but I haven't played extensively. I installed it about 10 minutes ago, so we'll see. Hopefully we'll find this thing at some point in time. It's sure been aggravating. I was calling a DX station yesterday, I guess, on sideband, and you know, just at the time he returned my call, the thing decided not to return to RX mode, and I managed to get back just in time to hear my call, so everything was okay, but we got to fix this one.
Yeah, Roger. Sounds not nice.
Hey, Bill, do you use the zero ohm resistors to connect the various jumpers?
Yeah, that's what I've been using.
Okay.
And clearly not the ones. Actually, I don't think he's got any. He doesn't have any jumpers on there that are through hole, I don't think.
No, I just think, you know, you've got two pads, you jumper, or you've got a three-way, where you use just a little bit of wire, or use the zero ohm resistors.
Now, I've used the zero. If you have the zero ohms, they're a lot easier to deal with than a piece of wire just seems to want to move.
Okay. Have you mounted the leads, by the way?
No, I've got the power supplies and two-thirds of a FPGA down so far. I'm doing one side of the FPGA, or, you know, doing a side of the FPGA at a time. My eyes are bugging out after looking. I mean, I spent got 2 hours trying to undo the mess I made this afternoon at Mucho Character Building.
Okay. Thanks, man.
I've got all of the passives down. The only thing I've now got the ICs, and I was starting on the Cyclone, so that's where I stopped at the moment. So I have the regulators down, the zero jumpers in place, the LEDs in place. I tested that the voltages are right, and in fact, the bottom LED, which I guess is labeled D13, is nice because it's just a power supply one. If you turn the power on, it lights up.
Actually, what's the trick on figuring out the polarity of the LEDs?
If you look very, very, very carefully, there is a tiny little half green dot on the side of towards one end, and that is the cathode, but that is the side
that goes, the board is marked with little O's, I think. I don't know why. Right by the edge of the board. And that's not where the dot goes. The dot goes the other side.
Okay, so the board is showing the anode positive, and then the part is marked with the cathode. So, okay.
Yeah, I'm doing that from memory. If you give me a half second, I'll go run and look at my board and look at my board to make sure that's right.
Yeah, if you don't mind, it saved me a little bit of. I was one of my any of the things that have polarities. You always have to figure out. Okay, what did they mark this time?
And I apologize, Phil. I had massive dropouts, and I never did get that model number of the Weller.
Okay, it's a Weller Whiskey Sierra London, WSL, okay?
Perfectly clear that time, WSL, and that's the whole iron?
Yeah, that's the whole iron and the little microprocessor controlled temperature unit that goes with it. It's the whole thing.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it much for your time.